Good morning, everyone. Just last night when I was praying, I just got a sense that there's definitely one person, maybe more, and you've just going through a season where you think that God has passed you by. And I'm just saying to you, no, he hasn't. He is there with you. He wants to reassure you he is there. And if that's you, I want you just to acknowledge that you do know he is there, even though you might not be sensing it. Just don't ever feel that he has passed you by. That's not our God. He doesn't do that. He's a good God. And even before Michelle was talking about the little baby, I just got a sense someone has come in today and they're really grieving. I don't know if it's over this or something else, but the Holy Spirit is just saying to you, I am your comforter. Turn to me. You know, we're just coming out of an Easter, and it's such a good time for reflection, I feel. And just as we think what happened there, gosh, it just seems such a long time ago, actually. I don't know that it's been a particularly full week, but yeah. But when we think about what we look at Easter, we look at, first of all, of course, the cross and the suffering that the Lord went through. And he suffered on that cross and died for our salvation. And he took all those lashes for our healing. And I heard I was watching a video of a pastor called, I knew I'd do this, Todd White, dreadlocks, finger of God, Todd. He was preaching, but he was telling a story that he had been at another church preaching when there had actually been like spontaneous baptisms. And four young women who had been involved in prostitution, who had come to the Lord, decided that because other people were going to be baptized, they were just going to jump in as well. And at least one of them, if not more, they had been doing a lot of self-harm when they were much younger. And as they came out the baptism waters, one by one, those scars just disappeared. And I just thought, gosh, Jesus took took those stripes on him so that our stripes that we've suffered can actually be gone. Just say that as a real word of encouragement. So we look at 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And that is the promise that he's given to us. He's given us the promise of that resurrected life. He continually talked about the kingdom of God being at hand. And I believe if we have been healed, we are living in resurrection life. If we've been delivered, we're living in resurrected life. If we've been set free, if we've been blessed, I believe we're living in resurrected life. He said, I came to give you life and give it abundantly. Now, most of us are Christians here for a while and we've heard that and you think, yep, that's great, thank you. But it means super abundant in quantity, superior in quality, excessive, which is actually a word that a lot of Christians are a little bit uncomfortable with, but he's come to give us excessive abundance. That's what it says, and it's beyond measure. And you know, if we didn't hear anything else this morning and just dwelled on that, it would almost be enough. Are we prepared to believe it and receive it? Or are we thinking, no, I don't think I could believe that, or that would never happen to me? Yes, it can, and it will. Just allow it. Okay, Sam? So today we're looking at some more teachings of Jesus, and we're looking from Matthew 6, 19 to 34. And there's four topics in this passage. Three are instructions followed by a therefore. So, lay up treasures in heaven, the lamp of the body, you cannot serve God and riches, and do not worry. Bottom line. You know, when we in our earthly minds think about treasures, I certainly, and riches, I always think about diamonds and gold and jewels. And quite recently, I had such a blessing, talking about being in the kingdom. Had no holidays planned this year. The purse was a little bit empty. And the first week in January, had a dear cousin stay with me. And she told me that she had booked a 2-for-1 on a cruise and her friend couldn't make it, so would I like to go? And I thought, her first choice was her friend, God's first choice was me. I didn't actually ask for a holiday, but this year I was feeling a bit sad when people were saying, are you going anywhere? God blesses. I stand here as testimony that he does. And I had to get myself to Sydney, and my lovely daughters and a friend put money in for the airfare, so off I went. When I was on this cruise, oh, and I must tell you, I've never been on a cruise. I've never been to the islands. The one island I always wanted to go to was New Caledonia. Guess where the cruise was? New Caledonia. So that was just an absolute blessing that God threw in just because he wanted to bless me. I had not prayed for that. He just gave it. When I was on the ship, there is a jewelry shop there, and it is based in New York, and they have these flash sales. I mean flash as in quick. Quick sales. They'll just call a sale, and everyone who wants to go goes. Now, this is a world I don't get into very often, but we got into this world. They had a necklace that was reduced greatly down to $36,000. That was it, and a big reduction. I saw some women spending more than $20,000 on some items, and these flash sales were called semi-regularly, so we would go along as well. And it was so interesting watching the people that could get caught up in it. But verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up or store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you know, in this world of materialism that we have in the West, it is really easy, isn't it, to get caught up in material things, things that we think that we need. But he's saying here, store up as a higher priority ahead of you. Store it up in heaven. You know, sometimes we think because we can't see it, it's lost. It's not. The word is, it's being stored up. I can remember back to just before the 87 crash. Oh, when was that? A millennium ago. And I knew some people that used to deal in futures. And this is where I think you kind of predict, you invest and you predict, see, for coffee, commodities, what it's going to be in the future, and hope that you get a return on it. Quite high risk investment. But I thought, when we store up things in heaven, it's like we're dealing in futures, but it's the most guaranteed future that you can ever deal in. Jack Hayford put it like this. He said, Jesus was against the uncertain and temporal nature of earthly treasures, whereas heavenly treasure is enduring. But Jesus does not prohibit material possessions nor the enjoyment of them, but he does forbid a selfish and extravagant material that ties to this earth. And that is what I saw with some of the women in that jewelry shop. They were so tied to the desire of wanting to get those gems. Now, our earthly treasures can be anything that we put ahead of God, okay? You know, I have heard of amazing people that have amassed great wealth on this earth, but they continually give it and they bless with it. They are not putting that ahead of God. And, you know, really with us, it could be sports, it could be a person, even children. It could be an interest or a pastime we have, or it could be a business, let alone when it comes to houses and we women, what we feel needs to be in the houses, and then in our wardrobes with the clothes, the handbag, the shoes, and don't forget the boys' toys. But what is he saying? If we're not putting it ahead of God, okay, we have to make sure we don't put it ahead of God. Verse 22, the lamp of the body. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And the next one is from the Message. And this one says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. And I did love the Passion version of that as well. And that one says, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness in you if the light of truth cannot enter? So there's a real lesson there. And just talking about eyes, the very first time I went to India, can't believe I did this, I left Hyderabad and I was going up north to a little place called Siliguri. There's only 1 million people there, so it hardly gets a blip on the map in India because of their incredible populations and their bigger cities. But I had to change at Calcutta. Not only change plane, but change airline. Calcutta back in those days had nothing in English. I went and checked in and they couldn't give me a gate number because they didn't know at that point what gate we were going to embark on. And so I said to them, please come and let me know. And I showed them where I was going to sit. Time went on, no one came. And then I couldn't see any of the people I'd been speaking to. And I thought, oh no, and I was really getting in a panic. And I was praying, and it wasn't like the Holy Spirit said, go to gate 17. But I just got that feeling, and I thought, I better start moving. And I went up an escalator, and I almost stumbled on it by mistake. Of course, it wasn't the Holy Spirit's mistake, but I thought, oh, finally, I'm here, this is wonderful. And I wasn't late for the plane, and so I got processed the way you do there with armed guards, and it's all quite serious. And got on the plane, and it was like, oh, the relief, I'm on this plane now. But it had really troubled me quite a bit because I was alone. You know, the English isn't the first language there, and I'm not very brave in some situations. But when we were leaving the plane, and I let everybody else go off first, and I will just take a minute to tell you how funny it is over there. So as soon as the plane lands, they say, do not turn your cell phone on until you get to the terminal. Do not undo your seat belt and stand. And what does everybody do? Everyone just stands and they're all on their cell phones and they're all walking down the aisle. It's just chaos. And I decided that I would let everybody else go, sort of recovering from my little incident in the airport at Calcutta. But I was the second last off the plane, and as I was leaving, I said to the young steward, you know, I smiled, thank you. And he said, ma'am, I have been watching you. Ma'am, you have amazing eyes. They really shine. And I thought, my gosh, that's not what I'm feeling like inside today. So it's just amazing when we have the Holy Spirit, regardless of how we're feeling, just how we come across. So I would just really encourage you on this one. Keep your eyes shining. And verse 24, you cannot serve God and riches. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, I often feel the saddest people in the world are people who are Christians and still living in the world. And I'm not meaning people that are struggling and keep trying, but just people who profess to be Christian and will live just an absolute worldly life. It must be the hardest because they know the truth and they're not walking in the truth. And I know that's not anyone here. Therefore, here we go. Do not worry. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now what I want to do now is I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to get a picture that you've probably seen from a movie or maybe even you've had a heavenly experience of Jesus. And just close your eyes and just imagine Jesus is sitting opposite you and it's just you and him and he's talking to you and he's saying to you, are those birds not of more value than you? No, they're not. You are of more value than they are. I value you. You are my child. You are valuable to me. You carry an intrinsic value to me, to my Father, to the Holy Spirit, and to the kingdom. Don't ever see yourself less than I see you. You are of such value. Just believe it. Just believe it. And then the verse carries on, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Some of you here have heard of Graham Cook, and I just love him. He has such a lovely way of seeing things, and every now and again he'll go into a conversation with the Trinity, and I'm going to take a little bit of license of him, because God is a God of fun. He has to be, because look at the way that he created birds. Now look at this. And I'm thinking this is how this conversation went. This is God speaking. Holy Spirit, you had the green. Jesus, you had the blue, didn't you? You had it, didn't you, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Oh, look what you did with this one, Jesus. My goodness, you really did put the blue out on this, didn't you? Oh, and it's waterproof. That's even better. No. God, I'm having a bit of fun here. I'm going to put some hats on. Holy Spirit, do you see that one on the left? That's what the judges in England decided was so good that they made hats just like that. And the one on the right, that's just a plain old beanie. Oh, Holy Spirit, you really did it on that one, didn't you? What happened? Did he fall into a pot of paint? And this last one, I see this as us at Capital Vineyard, birds of a feather. But truly, when you look at the way that God has put the colour into those, who could say God didn't have fun doing that? I mean, that is amazing. I can often look at these pictures of birds and just go, God, I wish I had been with you when you did that. Splat! No, what colour? Splat! We serve an amazing, amazing, amazing God. And then we come on to the other topic of this part. So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? And I just had to put some flowers in here. So here we have some lilies. And here we have a whole field of lavender. And that actually is a painting. Yeah, of various flowers. Next one is tulips. And then this one. Just leave that one up, Sam. That's just absolutely glorious. Honestly, how can anyone deny that there isn't a creation? That is a photograph. Isn't that gorgeous? Look at all of that. And the thing that amazes me with God, again, is the colour, but it's the scent that comes out of them. I don't get how it's year after year that, you know, that the scents are the same. If I had my eyes closed, I can identify the scent of a rose. I can identify the scent of a carnation. They never change. And man tries to replicate. And I don't think that anything matches what God does. They're just beautiful. We have such a clever, clever, clever God. Okay, and the next one. So, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, he knows that you need these things. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, not his love, not his provision, but it's his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. This passage is full of questions. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Are you not more value than the birds? Which of you by adding worry can add a half a meter to your height? That's the equivalent of the cubit. And that was the idiom of the Aramaic and Hebrew saying, but the Greek was, can you add 1 hour to your lifespan by worrying? You know, it's really funny. I always used to say, don't worry, it gives you wrinkles. Well, if you come and look at my face, I must have done quite a lot of worrying. And about a week or so ago, Mackenzie was sitting on my knee and she was holding my hand like that. And she just looked at me and she said, you've got wrinkles, Gran. Well, I can't deny that. So I just had to say, yes, I have. And she just stared into my eyes for a good 2 or 3 seconds. And then she said, I really love you, Gran. So I would have loved to have known what was going on in her head. So wrinkles can have benefits, people. But don't worry. The next question. Why do you worry about your clothing? Will God not clothe you more? Jack Hefford again, he says, Jesus resumes the theme of single-hearted devotion to God, and he deals with the related attitude of freedom from anxiety over our daily needs. Rosemary did an absolutely wonderful sermon on the Lord's Prayer, and in it, of course, daily needs, give us this day our daily bread. Now, coming from the land of manners that I was always taught to say please and thank you, I just cannot imagine on a one-on-one saying to God any given day, give me my daily bread. And yet it is, because of the language of the day, exactly what it is. God is going to provide our daily needs. Rather than being preoccupied with material things, our ambition should be definitely to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So our part in that is seeking God, knowing, and I hope you know that deep down, that knowing, that assurity, that as we do so, God has pledged himself with covenant faithfulness to respond, and he says, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. What you shall eat, drink, and wear. Romans 14:17 really sums it up well. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. But there is a time coming in the future when God himself will provide our clothing, and that clothing is going to be eternal. And that comes to us from Revelation 18. Next one. Yeah. Thank you. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It is given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. When we are righteous, it is building up, I believe, the clothing that we're going to wear eternally. We do not need to worry about anything to do with food and drink and clothing. God has told us that he is going to provide. He has given us a pledge of covenant faithfulness for this, because he said, all these things will be added to you. I have a friend who, when she first wanted to start tithing, was very nervous about it. And she was a solo mum. She had a little son, and she loved designer clothing. And she was very reluctant to tithe, but she knew she had to. And so as she put back in those days her check, she said, God, you say I can test you. I want my cupboards full of food and I want my boy's wardrobe full of clothes. She wouldn't probably do that now. She was a little bit more unsanctified in those days. And that next week, a friend of hers who worked in the grocery trade brought so much food that she couldn't fit it in her cupboards. And another person came and gave her so much clothing for her son, which was nearly all designer clothing, that she, if she'd afforded it, she would have needed another chest of drawers for him. God will do it. We just need to really trust him. One day we're going to be transferred into God's kingdom for all eternity. And we're going to really, if we ever get a chance, look back and think, why did I worry about that? Why did I worry? We need to just keep being mindful that we live in this world, but we're not of it. And it might be an idea at some stage today just to ask, God, is there anything that I'm attaching myself too much to, that is actually stopping you coming in and being able to be even more than I want than I want you to be? I just pray that as we go about our lives, that we are so mindful that we are people in the world, but we are kingdom people, that we live a resurrected life, that we come with the power and the glory, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that as we saw last week, looking at Easter and everything that Jesus did, it is such a reminder that we do live in resurrected life, that we do live in your kingdom. That, Lord, I believe it's as close as we want it to be. And God, I just say, your kingdom come today, God, on each person here, and even the people that belong to this church that aren't here today. Your kingdom come, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Lord, let us be people that have a kingdom mindset, that will just bow the knee to you, that we will place you in the highest place, that we will not let ourselves be tied to earthly things. And that, Lord, just as was said earlier, nothing can separate us from your love. Father, I just pray that, Lord, this year we would just start seeing more happening, more, Lord, more of your kingdom. More of your kingdom, Lord. Use us in any way that you would want to use us, God. Lord, give us opportunity. Fill us with boldness, God. Fill us, Lord, with power. Fill us with fire, that we would just come and we would rejoice and we would be full of joy, that we would know what it is to walk, as you say, in righteousness and joy and peace, and that, Lord, not just walk in it, but, Lord, it would flow out from us. Lord, let it be. Let it be. Lord, we want to put our hands up and say, Lord, we are willing. We are willing, God. We can't do it on our own. We can't manufacture. We can't manifest, Lord, but you can. And we just say, thank you, God, that you would even consider, God, using us in that amazing way. And that, Lord, you do see us with value. You see us with intrinsic value, which means that we belong naturally and that we are essential. And God, forgive us when we're too blasé about things. Lord, if we just thought about you consider us essential to your kingdom, you consider us essential to the plans that you have. Father, never let worry get in the way of the things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.